Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds ideas to the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Vigor, a branding and advertising agency focused on the restaurant and hospitality industry, and by Quench, a food and beverage advertising agency that specializes in evolving iconic food and beverage brands. Learn more, visit vigorbranding.com and quenchagency.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fork Tales. Today on Fork Tales, we're joined by a mission-driven snack entrepreneur who's shaking up the way Americans think about almonds and healthy snacking. Her name is Laurel Orley, and she's the founder and CEO of Daily Crunch Snacks. I personally love them, and I've known Laurel for a long time, and she's awesome. So thank you, Laurel, for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to jump in and get crunching, tell you all about Sprout and Nut Snacks.
Fantastic. We'll start at the beginning, and I love this part. I mean, look, this is, I mean, we're Fork Tales, our podcast, but we are, you know, started by an advertising agency, Quench, CPG, and then Vigor, which is restaurants, restaurant advertising. So we're ad guys, we're ad geeks, but you came from advertising, right? So talk about the beginning days and all that.
Oh, this is good. I'm excited to jump in. So I came from advertising. I worked at, I guess, technically your competitor, Mindshare, for 13 years. And before that, Mediacom under Gray Advertising, and then McCann Erickson I interned at in college. So like my whole background has been advertising, where I'm sure some wheels are spinning of like, how did this person end up as an entrepreneur? What's going on? But I love I love living in New York City, especially, you know, in my 20s, working for a big ad agency. I worked on Diageo, Hasbro, and then the last 13 years as Unilever.
Very cool. That's awesome. So, I mean, you're living that exciting advertising life, which I've not quite found yet in my world, but you know, this exciting advertising life, but you're working on brands, right? And you're helping people develop their client, their brands, their marketing, their story. And then you decided to start your own. And talk a little bit about that. Like, you know, walk me through the process, what inspired you to make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, I've always loved consumer packaged goods. I really, you know, when on Unilever, that's when I really started to understand the process and the full picture, from like pre-launch to like why it's so important to understand who is your target, everything about them, learning that day in the life of who your target is, all the pre-launch work, everything that you need to do, whether you're a super small company or, you know, a billion-dollar brand like Dove. I worked on the Dove campaign for Real Beauty, and that was just such an incredible campaign to be on.
Legendary. Right. Yeah. It's a campaign.
I mean, just where do you even start? Like, but we also had a mission there where we were changing how girls saw their, you know, their perception of real beauty.
Yeah.
And we had ambassadors and a toolkit where we go to middle schools and talk to girls about what they really thought beauty was, and sharing the toolkits with them of the reality, and just seeing like real change unfolding through a mission driven brand.
It's awesome. That is awesome. You know, and then the other side of it is, you know, being on the agency side, I'll say this, especially at a really large agency with really large clients, you spend money like, you know, very frivolously. I don't mean like you're not wasting, but you're spending a lot of money, and you don't think, but boy, when it's your own brand and you're sitting there, every penny has to make something move, right? And, you know, I know from, I'll say this, I started the company, so I was always a business person first and an ad agency guy kind of second, even though the business is an agency. But I knew from day one that, you know, every dollar in a company matters. So talk about that. I'm sure that was enlightening, right?
Oh my gosh. I mean, and I don't want to sound naive by this, but it is the truth. You know, when I was in my 20s and even early 30s working on brands like Unilever, I worked on Dove. Dove typically usually had a good quarter. But, you know, if it, you know, the quarterly reports went out that, you know, Unilever as a whole didn't have a good quarter, I never saw the full picture of how it affected me.
Right.
I just was like, oh, well, I work on Dove and they had a good quarter. Yeah. So why should I care about, you know, Frutari had a recall and tanked. Mm-hmm. You know, why should I care? I never really understood and saw the whole picture that every single piece of the company are all interrelated with each other. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I'm in the media, mm-hmm. and I work with the marketing team, and these are my brands, and I just care about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you think, oh, the clients say, oh, they don't know, they're not buying this good work, they're not doing this, oh, they're just being stupid. And it's really, no, they've got to watch everything, and they've got to be very careful, maybe sometimes too cautiously about their messaging, right? But I mean, it's they're living and dying this every day. This is their P&L, and I think when you really understand that, it really is it's a benefit, because then you realize it's like it is more of a partnership. Then as you're successful, we're successful. You know, we say like our best way to getting rich and famous is for our clients to get rich and famous, you know, and it truly is. That's the motivation. You know, you gotta, we're here, we're hired not to win awards, but we're hired to sell stuff, whether it's nuts, whether it's tuna, whether it's raisins, whatever it is, we're hired to sell more stuff. And that's the minute you really understand that, the more successful you can be. So I want to go back, and I want to jump into your products in a second, but the Dove thing, the one thing that's amazing to me there, and this is really maybe the beauty of advertising and brands, you had a brand Dove. Everyone knows the Dove brand, you know, great brand. It's been around forever, right? But the real beauty, I feel, was really a pivotal campaign. And again, I'm in awe of the campaign. And what they did was actually quite revolutionary. They took a product, Real Beauty, and they're calling Real Beauty. And they went away from, I'll say, the stereotypical, like, you know, beautiful model, perfect body, perfect build, perfect everything, you know, showing that off as this is what quote unquote beauty is. And they really slid into real beauty and showcasing all types of women, different shapes, sizes, you know, whatever, and really explaining what real beauty is. And that was, I mean, that was risky, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, whoever presented that campaign, you know, it's a lot easier just to say, no, just keep doing what we're doing. Just keep selling what we're selling. But I guess what I'm trying to say is they took a lot of risk there, and it was a really bold, brilliant move.
Yeah, I mean, they pushed the limits. Not every campaign under that umbrella was successful. I keep on thinking about how they had a moisturizer. It was called Sahara. That may have been the code name. I don't remember, but it went in and out in 2 seconds. It did not mm-hmm. make it. But I feel like they took that emotional piece and it really resonated with people. They really got into the core of that mom and who she was. How, you know, I remember working on the Oscars campaign where we did at the time a contest, and then we shared, you know, this is back when real time didn't really exist. There was mm-hmm. no, like, it wasn't how it is now. And we had, you know, three finalists, and then we aired who the winner was in the second half of the Oscars. And it was like a tape, and we did a call ABC and say which tape it was. And I was like, oh my gosh. And my boss at the time was like having a little bit too much fun at the party. I was like, you got to call ABC. But I'm thinking of like the Dove curls video. And if none of you have seen it, do yourself a favor, go on YouTube and do the Dove Love Your Curls campaign. And it's about this mom and her daughter, and the mom, I guess, started straightening her hair and cause she didn't like the curls, right. And then her daughter like hated her curls. Mm-hmm. And every time I watch it, I just start crying.
Yeah.
Well, I also have curly hair, and so does my daughter, but just it hits this chord with you.
Yeah, sure.
And it resonates.
It's awesome. So, I mean, what a bold, bold campaign. Oh, so now let's talk about you and your bold move. All right. So you launch a brand, the early days. What were some of your first like big wins and lessons? Like how did you embark on all this?
So I moved to Nashville from New York City 11 years ago. I was actually still working remote for Unilever, which pre-pandemic was unheard of. Mm-hmm. And for a while it worked until it didn't. And I wanted something different. I wanted to launch a brand with a mission that I believed in. Our mission is actually mental health awareness. And mm-hmm. I kept on going back to my Aunt Diane's sprouted nut snacks. She learned the process in India 20 years ago. She saw people there soaking nuts and seeds overnight for brain health purposes. And then she perfected them with her dehydration methods back in the US. And she would just gift them over, like, to friends and family over the years. And I called, I remember it like yesterday, because I was so scared to do it. I called Diane. I said, Diane, this may seem like it's totally in left field, but like you have something really different. You have something different in what I call a trusty but very dusty nut snack category. Mm-hmm. There's been very little innovation. And I think we can really break through in this white space. Do you want to be business partners and launch this? And she was like, I've been looking for a sign. I thought it'd be my daughter, but my niece is the next best thing. Let's do it.
That's awesome.
And we launched in March 2020.
That's fantastic. Well, so that's okay. Pandemic time, right? So, I've read that the pandemic caused you to have to rethink a lot of your launch strategy. What changes did you have to make?
Oh my gosh. I mean, we were supposed to launch during Expo West on mm-hmm. National Snack Day, March 5th, 2020. And then all of a sudden, I remember it like yesterday, I had my tickets, I was flying out there and they canceled Expo West. I remember my best friend in LA at the time was like, still come out. And thank goodness I did, because that was the last trip I took for the next like 2 years.
Yeah, right.
we really had to think outside the box and change the way that we were launching the product. And it was definitely a more slow and steady launch. I mean, we called some retailers during the height of the pandemic and they were like, if you're not milk or toilet paper, mm-hmm. do not bother us. We are literally not taking new brands in right now. Like, we cannot deal with this. Mm-hmm. So we went on to Amazon. We really spent this time to dig into really who are we and how are we really differentiating ourselves. And I actually look back to this time and say, thank goodness we had that time mm-hmm. to do that, because now we're at a point where like we're just so busy and we are in, 6,000 doors across the country now. And, we were ranked, last year as the Inc. 5,000, the 13th fastest food and beverage. And we are just hitting our stride, but it was definitely a slower start because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, I mean, it makes sense. Cause I mean, what a trying time for everybody. It's not a time to launch anything, to your point, but you use sprouted nuts. And okay. So for those that don't know, what are sprouted nuts and why, what is the benefits? Cause we all know about different types of nuts, but sprouted is somewhat unique. And obviously everybody needs something that's an innovation or something that's unique. So talk about why that's important.
So when you soak nuts and seeds overnight, they shed something called phytic acid, which is an anti-nutrient. When that's removed from the nuts and seeds, it does make it more bioavailable, easier to digest, nutrient dense, but mm-hmm. we're really leaning in with our crunch. So when you soak nuts and seeds overnight, specifically almonds, they create a hollow core. And when that's removed from the water and goes in a dehydrator at super low temperatures, that hollow core remains intact, giving it this crunch that's honestly, it's like a chip. It's mm-hmm. lighter, airier, crunchier. You immediately get that point of differentiation. I always tell everybody, look at a bare apple chip. It is a sliced apple, but they transformed that into a completely different texture that revolutionized that category. Mm-hmm. And we are doing that to nuts and seeds, where if people want to, they immediately get the crunch, and if they want to learn more, they can learn more about the health benefits. And we have these really innovative flavors, but the crunch is what the path to purchase is to get them in.
Fantastic. And I've had your product many times and it's delicious and it's fantastic. I've told people about it. I think you have something very, very, very special. So, I mean, but it is special. I know it's special. The rest of the world, you go down the healthy snack aisle and it's crowded and it's competitive. And so how do you stand out? What makes Daily Crunch snacks different than the other brands in your category?
Yeah, well, so there's a few things. There's obviously the crunch and that we're sprouted, and mm-hmm. a lot of nuts and seeds right now are not sprouted. So it's kind of that point of differentiation, the bold, innovative flavors. Mm-hmm. And how we have the sustainability component to it. So for example, we have we just joined the No Seed Oil Coalition. So We have these, we also just joined the Almond Project, which helps with regenerative agriculture with our almond farm. This is something that's important to a lot of consumers, right. but it's really important that our packaging is breakthrough. Mm-hmm. We actually are doing a mini facelift on our packaging right now. I should actually send it to you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Your POV. I love doing those like before afters. And, mm-hmm. But for us, we're non-GMO, but we also are upcycled. So our dill pickle, for example, it has that crunch I was just talking about. But because we use clean ingredients and no artificial flavors, no oil, seed mm-hmm. oils, that flavor has no added sugar. You get a different type of customer that's really going to go after, oh, I want like a dill pickle almond or cashew, but I can have it with sugar and all this other artificial stuff added to it. And you know, with our brand, you're not going to get that. Yeah. But we also use upcycled pickle pieces. So when you have the dill pickle flavor, you're getting actual upcycled pickle pieces also in the mm-hmm. bag that would otherwise go to waste. They're right. the pickle blends that we partner with Cleveland Kitchen. So we try to do things like that where it's not just going to be apples to apples of like us versus Blue Diamond. You're actually going to see the differences when you turn over the back of the mm-hmm. bag and look at the nutritional label. And you're also going to get the difference with taste.
Yeah. And what's so important, and I was talking on a previous podcast about this, you know, it's great that, you know, you can be healthier. It's great. It's, you can check all the different boxes of whether it's upcycle, sustainability, all these different things are super, super important. But at the end of the day, it's got to taste good, right? And yours do. I mean, you guys check that box yeah. with the flavors. And it's kind of interesting to me because, you know, in our industry, you know, doing food and beverage, we've ridden, I'll say the quote unquote flavor train a lot. I mean, we have potato chip clients that are just, we're pushing the flavor profiles. We ran promotions in local cities for their favorite restaurants or their favorite flavor that's sort of indigenous to their town. For instance, Philadelphia would be a cheesesteak flavor, right? Or, yeah. or with whiz, what they call it, with cheese whiz, like with whiz as things like that. So we'll do these interesting, like local regional flavors and people love it. And we make it about the consumers. They vote on them. And then we've taken that same concept and we've done it with tuna. We put flavors in tuna. You're doing it with almonds. And my favorite is Nashville Hot. But talk about your flavors and talk about the inspiration for some of the flavors.
So our Nashville Hot is based on an ode to our town, Nashville. And that's a vegan take on Nashville Hot Chicken. This flavor is, I don't know, it's so good because it has this like medium kind of like, it's like this sweet heat where it's not mm-hmm. too hot, but you kind of get like, we use monk fruit sweetener, just a drop. And so it still doesn't have sugar in it. And it's just an ode to our town. And obviously Nashville Hot is just so hot right now.
That's right.
We started off with our plain sprouted almonds. And so many people just eat plain almonds sure. because they want the protein, they want all the nutrients, mm-hmm. but they're chewy and boring. And this is just like a great swap out.
Yep.
But for example, we just launched in Whole Foods nationwide. And we partnered with Fly By Jing, which is a, we use their mala spice and their chili flakes for this flavor. And it's with our cashews, edamame. And it also has a little bit of sweetness aftertaste. It's sweet and spicy. It's so good. Mm-hmm. I personally created the turmeric and sea salt, which is my baby. So that is kind of like our closest to our sea salt flavor. Mm-hmm. But it has nutritional yeast, which is fortified and has all these additional vitamins in it because it is nutritional yeast. And turmeric with a pinch of black pepper that you can't taste. But the black pepper actually amplifies the benefits of the turmeric. So that's why it's in there. And it's just like, it's hard to explain this flavor, but the people who love it are like addicted, mm-hmm. especially for some reason, pregnant women are obsessed with this flavor. Obsessed. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is all I ate during my pregnancy.
You have a niche.
We have our cacao and sea salt. We have our cherry berry, which is made with sprouted walnuts, cashews, and almonds, and then upcycled blueberries and cherries. I feel like I'm forgetting a flavor. I'm like forgetting one of my flavor, my babies, my, but when I think of it, I'll let you know.
Well, so this is great though, because this leads me into my next question. That's simply like a quench, you know, for when I started the food and beverage agency, it was like, whatever, 18 years ago. We very quickly decided that we wanted to know more and more about the food industry, right? So we did trends. We wanted to learn about the trends. And we did that really just for self-education, right? We didn't do it to present to anybody. But because the trends were so well received, then the educator, we thought, well, just let's give it away. So we've been doing trends for forever. Swicey is one of this year's trends, which is your sweet and spicy. So you're absolutely dead on the trends, right? And you kind of always have been. So I guess my question is, are you driven more by trends, intuition, or customer feedback? Because it sounds like maybe a little bit of both, or a little bit of all three.
That's a great question. So we have a really great loyal customer base who orders us on our website. We do some testing on there of maybe some flavors that we're thinking of that we think could taste good, mm-hmm. but are also hitting some of the trends. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I think like an everything bagel, sprouted nuts would be amazing? Yeah. But some of these big retailers are like, we're not going to take that. Like we feel like it's been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
We really mm-hmm. have to look at some flavors that I think right now, Michael, honestly, what's really hot are collaborations.
Yeah.
Like, who can we collaborate with
sure.
that is potentially a much bigger brand than us? Mm-hmm. And it's really easy for them to partner with us,
mm-hmm.
easy for, you know, and it just gives us so much more PR and leverage, and it tastes great. Retailers really resonate with that. With the Flyby Jing, that was an exclusive at Whole Foods for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
They put that in that flavor in their trends report for international flavors.
Yep.
And so we do have a whole list of different flavors of like what ranks highest to lowest from our core ambassador list, but it's a mm-hmm. small pool. We do a lot of, you know, Mintel we look at. Mm-hmm. We look at all different type of, you know, trend reports and just try to say, okay, is there a brand that maybe we can collaborate with to do this, knowing that it's mm-hmm. also going to be a trend? And, you know, we were in talks with a really big dried fruit company, and they ended up passing on us, which was fine. Sometimes it's not always a good fit, or it's just the time is not right now.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I fully believe that it comes, you know, things come back. I think for them, they just really didn't want anything coated on the nuts, and we needed for this flavor for there to be coating.
Yeah.
And but we have some calls next month. I can share with you offline with some really incredible brands, and
super. If
any of them go through it, the collaboration would be awesome.
We're doing a lot of that now. Collabs with our CPG brands is huge, and it's you're right on. And last year, one of the main trends was everything dill, like everyone dill pickle everything.
Yeah.
It's like a thing. So you like I said, you're right on trend on all this. So what is, if I may ask, what is your top selling flavor and what is your favorite flavor? I know you love all your kids the same. I know that, but what's your favorite?
Yeah, well, we go off of the EOS model. We have our rocks mm-hmm. every Monday, our cacao was consistently the number one bestseller.
Hmm.
The dill pickle has in the last week taken over the cacao for number one. And we just had our best week ever at Erewhon, mm-hmm. where the dill pickle was the number one selling SKU for that category. And I think they bought, it was like 300 bags last week of just mm-hmm. pickle alone. It was just like, I mean, I think that this flavor has so much more potential. I think also because it is so different, where it's like, oh my gosh, what is this? And I think people initially are like, is this a pickle piece? And then they try like, oh my gosh, we call it like a salt bomb because it's like just a dried, amazing salt,
mm-hmm.
dried pickle piece. But my favorite, honestly, we just changed our chai spice pear. We just made some changes to it. And I'm like that's right now my favorite with like a vanilla yogurt, and you just put it on mm-hmm. as a topper for extra protein. It's great. So good. That's an LTO. Right now it's not in market. We just have it in the fall.
Wow. So, and what's interesting to me too is, I mean, you have some sweet and some savory. Yeah. I mean, and it's sort of like, and again, this is me search here, right? One person. I always feel like, oh, almonds, they should be more on the savory side, or maybe I feel like you should pick one or the other, and that's probably a dumb thing to say, but you kind of go back and forth, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, you can have both. Mm-hmm. And both work. I mean, right now, what trends we're seeing is that people are more into savory. So our last two launches were savory items.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a flavor. I actually don't know if this flavor would hit. It's like, it definitely is sweet, but it's like, I think it's a savory flavor. We have some R&D things in the work, and I think also people love that salty and sweet combo as well. Sure. So for example, our cherry berry right now has the dried cherries, the dried blueberries. We've been actually seeing that go down in the rankings as other flavors go up. And I think we're going to make maybe one or two of the nuts salted, lightly mm-hmm. salted. So it kind of goes with those cherries and mm-hmm. Dried blueberries for that salty and sweet.
Yeah. Well, I always look at it too. And again, this is just me, sir. So I'm not saying this is right, but I always look at it as like, you know, boy, if I could just eat my potato chips every single day, I would love it. But, obviously almonds are healthy. They're better for you. And the way you make them is even better. So, I mean, I feel like that can replace that flavor sensation that you crave from yeah. say other snack foods at times. So I think that's awesome. So I have to ask, is there a flavor that you experimented with? It sounded great. And you thought this is going to be it, and it failed.
Oh my gosh. RIP our coffee and coconut flavor, which was continued last year. It is so innovative where you take, so almonds absorb everything around them. So we would take like organic dried coffee, coffee that you mm-hmm. kind of like that instant coffee, and we'd pour it into the water where it would literally so absorb the coffee, and it would be like a coffee soaked almond. And then we put it in the dehydrator and all the excess moisture, but you get that like coffee almond taste when you mm-hmm. eat them. But I think consumers are really confused by this because they're like, is this salty? Is this sweet? Because coffee is like neither. And then I always wanted to add cherries to it, but then I got shot down because we already have a flavor of cherries in it. Right. Though I still think that maybe that flavor would have
rounded it out
if we added cherries, but instead we added like dried currants and coconut pieces. And look, we're emerging, and while we actually just hired an R&D person outside to start helping us, up until now we've done everything ourselves. We had no idea how fast coconut goes rancid, and after the second attempt to bring this flavor back to life, though I have to say my mom has been the most devastated person out of all of this about the coffee and coconut. She still comes over and she's like, do you sure you don't have any bags left? Are you sure?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. So I want to slide over to another aspect of your business. Daily Crunch is vocal about its mental health mission. Talk about that mission and how it comes to life in your brand and like why.
Yeah. So first of all, I have anxiety. I think that more and more people are talking about, what you eat and how you feel go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. It all ladders back up to brain health. It's not just about taking care of yourself physically, but also mentally. And I think more and more people are now more open to that. But the real story is my Aunt Diane, who is my co-founder. She, her son George struggled with bipolar disorder when he was a sophomore at the University of Michigan, and he lost his life to it. And his surviving sister and brother and my aunt and uncle started the support network, which advocates mental health awareness on college campuses. Mm-hmm. They have saved people's lives.
Wow.
They have an outlet now for students where maybe it's even your roommate that's struggling or you who's struggling, where you can go. And so we do give back. And when we give back, it is to the support network. I think, we're trying to have this fine balance of that. We're not a mission-driven company like, Toms, where, you know, every bat, every shoe you buy, we get another shoe for, you know, someone who needs it. This is part of who we are, but it's not the front and center of who we are. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes to that hierarchy that I was sharing before of like, oh, wow, this is really like crunchy and different and has a texture difference and the flavor profiles and the clean ingredients. And oh, wow, they work with a sustainable almond farm that also helps repollinate the bees and the almond project. And then they start to go into her story. And it's like, oh, wow, they're woman owned and they give back to mental health. And this is their story behind it. So it's just kind of like getting down that funnel of how people get to know more and more about us.
It's excellent. Excellent. Great story. So you touched on another thing that was a big trend. I mean, it was in our trends, I guess, 2-3 years ago. It's again this year because it keeps evolving, but upcycled ingredients. And you are a member, speaking of all the different areas of I'll say your passion points of your brand, you know, you're a board member of the Upcycled Food Association. Explain real quick what upcycled is if anyone doesn't know, and explain why that's important.
Of course. So as we know that there's massive food waste going on in the United States, where a lot of products are still completely fine to eat, yet maybe they are visibly looking perfect. So they're tossed out and not used. That's just one example. There's a lot of different examples.
Sure.
So trying to find ways as a brand where you can take these imperfect ingredients and instead of them being thrown out, you can actually use them. When we were creating the dill pickle flavor, we just were like, wow, we need something to be a little bit more innovative. It's not, this recipe is not perfected yet. And when Cleveland Kitchen out of Ohio, the founders told us that they cut off the pickle ends and throw them out, that's when a light bulb went off. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we're throwing away tons of pickle ends a year that we can incorporate into our pickle paste. So that's exactly what we did. We've already saved, I think, 2 tons of pickle ends that would literally just be in a landfill right now for the next God knows how many years. And they're instead, they're in our perfectly perfect dill pickle, sprouted almonds, and pepitas bag.
Yeah. The statistics of food waste in landfills, the percentage of it being food waste is astronomical. I mean, it's just, I don't remember offhand what the number was, but the percentage will blow your mind no matter what you think it is. It's a really, really large number. So you're also a champion of women in business. You're a certified woman-owned company. What does that certification mean to you? And you know, how is it, has it helped you open doors? Has it helped you?
Yeah. So, I can't tell you the incredible people who are now, I can call my very, very good friends who are also women in consumer packaged goods, trying to do the same thing that I'm doing, where we have helped each other through the past few years. I'm part of the entrepreneurial, the Ernst & Young, I'm sorry, EY, entrepreneurial winning woman and of class of 24 and just meeting these incredible people where we support each other, help each other. And for the retailers where this is important to them, they do support us, you know, to get us an end cap to help reduce slotting fees. I mean, my biggest story, Michael, is a massive retailer. I don't think I can share who slapped us with a $120,000 slotting fee in like year two of launch before we even raised money. And I was like, there is no way that we're not going to pay this. We're going to have to pull out. Or I said to them, we're woman owned. Here's our certification. We will not give you $120,000. I'll give you $20,000. And they said, and they said, yeah, we'll take that for the woman owned. Like we will take, and another one was an award we won where they wanted like $30,000 for us to use the licensing rights. This also comes to where I was like, why are you charging me the same amount of money of like Unilever that actually has a budget when we don't?
Right.
And I was able to kind of stand my ground and get that, you know, reduce. You know, my whole thing is like, if you don't ask, you don't know. And I think with being a woman-owned brand, but also still being an emerging brand, I always ask. And even if 9 times out of 10, they say no, that one time they say yes, it makes all the difference.
It's worth it. Sure. So look, you know, you're an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. And, you know, I know in my own story, you know, I started with nothing. I had $300 to my name. No one gave me any money. I didn't have a loan. I didn't know how to get a loan. I didn't have any credit. So I just kind of hustled. And we build these businesses and everyone thinks it's all like romantic and wonderful and easy and all that. But every one of us has had times when they thought like, oh my gosh, this is it. What am I doing this for? Do I need to keep doing this? Why am I doing this? You know, have you had any struggles, any moments where you seriously consider walking away? And if so, what pulled you back in?
Yeah, well, I'm like chuckling because we have our values mantra that mm-hmm. we share every Monday during our internal status. And there's, you know, we have like four key value pillars, but one of them is fun. And underneath mm-hmm. there is it's just effing nuts. Like, it's just effing nuts. Like, you know, like it's just effing nuts, but also it's just effing
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Let's not, we're not doing brain surgery. Like, right. let's not like, so that being said, I mean, part of being an entrepreneur is the unknown and taking risks. And yeah, there's been a lot of setbacks. Mm-hmm. I think from most of them, I've grown from them and learned. The biggest one was when we had, I don't know if you remember this, when I had a, like, was it 20,000 pounds of almonds that yep. arrived to our co-packer and they were not, we couldn't use them. Mm-hmm. And our almond farm at the time would not let us return them. And we did the lab studies and it showed that they were kind of towards the end of their life, but like we couldn't, like they were still usable, but when we soaked them and sprouted them, they tasted like apple cider vinegar or something was very mm-hmm. wrong. And we had to get rid of them. And I realized I didn't have the right insurance at the time for these types of things. And I almost threw in the towel. It was actually my YPO group that mm-hmm. walked me off the ledge of throwing mm-hmm. in the towel of like, Laurel, we've been here and we're mm-hmm. going to help you. We're going to navigate you through this to get to the other side. And that's what they did. And it was a huge learning curve for me.
Yeah. And everyone's been to that edge. Everyone. And, you know, if you started a business, if you're an entrepreneur, somewhere along the line, you've been to that edge. And it's not fun, but it's always good to know that other people have been there. So mm-hmm. well, you know what the view, everyone knows what the view looks like from there, but it's nice to know that other people know what the view looks like too, you know, from that edge. So what's been the biggest surprise, you know, for you in building and running a CPG brand? I mean, because again, you worked on the agency side, you built brands from the agency side. What's been the biggest surprise for you, like running it and being your brand?
Well, some of the biggest surprises is when I get people from my past life of advertising email me on like LinkedIn and just tell me how they've seen me in Wegmans or wherever else and mm-hmm. how they're just rooting for me from the guideline, you know, from the sidelines. But for me, the biggest surprises are when I actually see the brand in the wild of like somebody buying it. That mm-hmm. that for me is always the biggest surprise and like just the best feeling.
That's awesome.
I was at the airport a few weeks ago with my family for spring break and we were at an, you know, at the Dallas airport and I was at OTG, like hiding behind a pillar because there was this woman who looked like she was about to go on a hiking trip and she like turned over every one of our bags and was reading the back meticulously. Mm-hmm. And then she decided to buy our Nashville Hot. And I saw her at the checkout. I'm like, do I approach her? I'm like, all right, don't approach her, Laurel. Like that's stalkerish. Just let her buy it and move on. But it was just like the best. It was the best.
I would approach her. I would have been like, that's awesome. Who are you? Yeah. That's excellent. Well, so that's a great segue for my next question. Right? Like, so, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, if you're building a brand from the ground up, I mean, it's a very personal journey. I mean, you put yourself into it and it challenges you and it can change you. I mean, how has being an entrepreneur and how has building a brand changed you personally, either as a leader or just as a person?
I have to say it's given me so much more confidence in who I am and what I can do that I think beforehand I felt maybe a little lost, like mm-hmm. being at a massive company, working for a massive brand, you're always part of something, but as an individual, I felt like I had more to give and I just needed to finally follow that. And it was a big leap, Michael. Like going, when I was said to my husband, I'm like, I can't go back to corporate right now. I just can't. Like, I can't. And when he said, he's like, all right, like I'm basically behind you, that you may fall on your face and fail and may not make a dollar. And I needed that support.
Yeah.
And ironically, he's in the hotel industry. So this is right before the pandemic, where he's like, what could go wrong? Everything's great.
Right.
And,
who would have thunk it?
Yeah. And, I just feel like, I don't know, I just have this like confidence in myself now that I never had before, of like, I can do hard things and bring it.
Yeah. Hey, and look, I know firsthand, I'm defined by my company. And I know that's a weird thing to say, and maybe it's even shallow, I don't know. But when you do a brand, or when you work on something for so long and dedicate your life to it, you're it's who you are, and it's, and you're a part of it, and it's a part of you. And I don't know any other way. And it's kind of interesting, but I don't know. I guess it's good. I don't know. It's just it is what it is. So what advice do you wish you had before you started? Is there anything you wish you would have had or known?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so much. Because it's like, oh, you know, you think about that, like, well, if I were to launch a brand again right now, these are all the things I would do differently. I mean, first of all, like, I came from the advertising marketing side. So the financial piece, you know, we launched our bags at 5 ounce. And then after we were with a distributor, it went to 4 ounce, and we had to do the whole swap over. It was a huge pain. I think that, my motto is always 2 steps forward, 1 step back, that like, you're always going to have setbacks. And, I would do a lot differently. I think that the way that I would launch would be, you know, cause you're learning so much as you continue on. I feel like I'm always graduating from one phase and getting to the next phase and then leaving that previous phase behind. But now I'm in this new uncharted territory of this new phase. I mean, we closed our Series A in September. We have a board now, and this is all new to me.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to take what I've learned and keep on going forward.
It's awesome. Yeah. On the job training, right?
Yeah.
So we always hear about, you know, how difficult it can be to work with family. You mentioned YPO, and there's always a lot of that in the YPO. Has there been any difficulties or drama working with your aunt and working, you know, with family that in that regard?
Yeah. And I have not had that with Diane. I think because she's been very clear with me about her role in the company from day one.
That's great.
Where her role was, I will bootstrap the company until, you know, we're able to raise, but I cannot be an employee, and I do not want to work in the day to day. I do not, you know, she doesn't get a salary. She has equity in the company, and she has been very clear about what her role is. I mean, this is her product. We have a patent on it, and she's at the trade shows. She helps with the PR. She's an ambassador. She's huge with networking, but I also respect the fact of what she said she's able to give, and I've never tried to go beyond that.
And you do have a patent on the sprouted nut. So can someone else just come into this category and do something similar, or how defendable is that?
So our patent is based on time and temperature of how long we soak the product for and how long we dehydrate it for. The patent is based on 24 to 48 hours that we soak the walnuts, cashews, almonds for. Well, not the cashews. You can't soak those for too long, or they'll get mushy. but the almonds particularly, because of that hollow core I was telling you about.
Yes.
To get that hollow core, you have to soak it for a certain amount of time. And over 48 hours, it actually is no bueno. You do not want to soak it for 48 hours, because it can start to get bacteria and things. So we kind of own that space.
That's
that
great, product. Though. That's defendable and notable.
For us, that's what matters.
Yeah, for sure. So what's next? What's next for Daily Crunch? Can you tell us anything big that's on the horizon? And if you can't, we understand. But is there anything you want to mention? New flavor, anything like that?
Oh my gosh! I'm trying to think, what am I allowed to share? What am I not allowed to share? you know, we just launched in Whole Foods. We at Expo West won the Albertsons launch mm-hmm. pad. We came in first place. We
Congratulations.
503 brands to be exact. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to get greenlit some of the Albertson doors. We will have a new flavor launch in the back half of the year. Okay. But that is still like in the works. There's some exciting like PR announcements happening in June. So I'm excited to share more of that. I like to talk about my journey on LinkedIn. So anybody listening is more than welcome to follow my journey on there. I try to be as authentic as possible and share the good, the bad, everything in between.
That's excellent. Good for you. All right. Well, we're going to round this out with what we're calling Crunch Time. And we only named it after you, of course, because of Daily Crunch. So we're going to ask you some rapid fire questions. And I want your honest answers.
Ready.
So you're all about crunch. So five questions, five quick answers. Ready?
All right. All right. Let's do it.
What's your go-to snack besides Daily Crunch snacks?
I just had a Cleo bar. Does that count?
Sure. Yeah. Cleo bar is good.
Well done.
If you could do a co-promo or collaboration with one brand, what would you choose?
Oh my gosh. So there's so many. There's just so many. But right now I would love to do something with maybe like Truff or like a really big chef.
Cool. Very cool. We know you're big on almonds. What's the most underrated nut that people should be eating more of?
So, so we're rolling out our packaging and this is a quick thing. It's going to have all these other benefits of how nuts are so freaking amazing and each one is different, but I'm an almond gal. The almonds, mm-hmm. the protein, the vitamin E, there's so many different nutrients that they have. You don't need to be having protein from some random thing that doesn't taste good.
Right.
Have it from almonds.
Yep. Hey, and I'm with you. I do think that you have something very special with a healthy product that has great flavors. I think the world is in front of you. I really do believe that. You got a lot of recipes on your website that use your products. What's your favorite recipe?
Honestly, oh my gosh, the dill pickle hummus, hands down, hands down. It will be the best thing that you have at a party.
That's awesome. Good for you. And you did that with passion. So you're not just selling, but you believe it. I can tell.
So good.
All right, Laurel, one last question. And it can't be almonds this time, all right?
Okay.
If you had one final meal, what would it be? What would you eat and why?
Honestly, I'm going to go for pizza, like a really amazing margarita pizza. Mm-hmm. Get some like fresh diced garlic on there, some pepper flakes, just like a right out of the oven, like Italian pizza. Because at the end of the day,
I'm with you. I think I could live on pizza and peanut butter, not together, but those two things, I think I could just survive the rest of my life.
I agree. They're just the best. They are the best.
It's awesome. Fantastic. Well, Laurel, you were wonderful as always. Your energy is contagious and thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun. This is great. Awesome.
Great. Thanks.